thank you, Steve, for the keynote on the business, the science, and the model of prospect generation. We will now begin our Q&A segment with Steve Enders and Rick Rule. We do want to hear from you in the community, so if you do have a question for Steve, make sure to submit your questions on our platform. So we have about 10 minutes, gentlemen, for the Q&A, so let's get straight to the questions. Rick and Steve, our first submitted question is, what is a good exit strategy for prospect generators?
In an ideal situation, they've achieved enough success that their partner takes them out, buys the project, leaves them with a royalty or some kind of retained interest. That's what all of them really want.
I would add, in my experience, what often happens is that when the senior partner makes a discovery, the senior partner, rather than leaving the junior with a carried working interest, just takes them over. The game goes over. You used to own Francisco Gold, now you own Glamis, you know, which becomes Newmont or some circumstance like that. Either you end up with a carried working interest in a project, you end up with a royalty, or much more commonly, you end up with shares in the company that made the project, that made a success of the project that you generated.
Yeah, either way is a success case.
Correct.
And next up from our attendees, we have question number two for you, and that is, how do you value metal in the ground?
I don't value metal in the ground myself. I just don't. Here's what you see commonly is someone will say, let's just use space mining as a ridiculous example. There's an asteroid that's worth $4 quadrillion in its precious metal value, which is just no different than someone saying, I have 1,000,000 ounces of ground in a deposit, and you multiply that by the gold price, and that's the value of the deposit. It makes no sense. There's just no logic whatsoever. It's an irrational way to look at things.
Steve is absolutely right. We will do an upcoming boot camp on valuation. It will be extremely valuable, and it will be extremely boring. Everyone wants rules of thumb. Everyone wants something that is simple. But the truth is that the simple solutions are worth what they cost you, which is to say they're valueless.
And gentlemen, moving on to our next question. What do you consider a large package of properties for a prospect generator?
You know, I guess... To be an engineer, I love 30, but it's really hard for a small prospect generator to have 30 properties. But three is not enough. You know, working in the major companies, at Newmont, I had a portfolio of 300 companies, and at Phelps Dodge, I was read 100 companies. It's much better, but I think I think somewhere between 3 and 30 be great.
And I look at things from a portfolio approach. I like to see a generator that can generate and sell between 2 and 4 ideas a year. I like to see a portfolio of at least 15 partnered properties. And we'll talk later in this about the fact that it isn't enough to generate. You have to get them farmed out. We have this thing that we call constipated prospect generators, which are people that bring in a whole bunch of properties, attempt to beneficiate themselves, but never bring in any joint venture partners, which is problematic. In other words, what is happening with the properties is probably more important than the size of the portfolio. But Steve is right. The idea is that you're supposed to end up with a large portfolio of properties, reduces the risk, and increases the probability of success with somebody else's money.
And I would have to add that whether it's your money or whether it's your partner's money, you have to be advancing those prospects. You just have to.
Right.
So the next question, I'm sure, is something that both of you could probably spend a lot of time answering. So the next question is, what is the most common mistake that prospect generator companies commit?
Oh, I think it's falling in love with your prospects. That's the key issue. And it's not being able to make a quick decision with incomplete information that says, this one I'm gonna move on from. And it's particularly, I guess the end member approach here is a company that decides they really wanna drill and build their own project. It's usually death.
I would agree with that. There are some circumstances where a prospect generator in preparing data for somebody else enjoys so much success early on. One case would be Arequipa with Purina, where they really truly did intend to farm it out, but the more data they got, the better it got, until it got to the point where they actually couldn't farm it out. It was too valuable. But what Steve says is very true. People either become recidivist prospect generators, which is to say, in a very good market, when capital is easy to get, they fall in love with their own projects, or they fall in love with their own projects early on, and the terms and conditions under which they propose to farm them out are too tough, which is to say, they never get the joint venture funding, and their own general and administrative expense eats them alive.
And Rick and Steve, we have another question that's coming in, and that is, are there any legends in the prospect generator subsector that we should watch very closely?
I think I'll let Rick take that one.
Well, I mean, the answer to that is yes, but I think that we're going to introduce you to some potential legends today. The exhibitors that we're introducing you to are all people that are owned in my own portfolio as a consequence of their success with the model. David Lowell, I suspect, rest in peace, was the archetypical prospect generator with Arequipa. He went through 36 or 37 projects with other people's money until he discovered Purina. A wonderful guy. I know Steve knew him well. So if you look back in terms of a track record of success and who you would look at, of course, David Lowell would be front and center in the historical one. Who will be the next David Lowell? I only wish I knew. If I did know and I could tell you, I would have charged you more for this Prospect Generators boot camp than I did.
It's a good answer, Rick.
And Steve, the next question that is coming in from our audience is directed to Steve. So can you elaborate on what you mean by sustainable considerations, sustainability?
It's sustainability. I mean, I'll go back and say that interacting with the local community it starts with the first geologist who gets on the prospect. And I've seen too often early stage explorers make two mistakes. They either come in and they promise stuff that they cannot deliver, or they come in and they try to operate under the radar screen. And either one is a disaster for ruining the project, no matter how successful it may be technically. So when I mean sustainability considerations, it's all around being able to come into a community, work on a prospect or a project that it advances in a way that you're transparent, you're dealing with the local communities and the stakeholders in an honest, transparent way, where you're telling them what you're doing, what success is going to look like, what happens if there's success, and when you come back and talk to them again, you tell them what you did, you tell them whether it was successful or not and what it means, and you're going to tell them what you're going to do next. It's just a disaster to come in and say, wow, we're going to be able to make a discovery here. And if we do, it's going to be a great mine and we're going to have a lot of jobs. That's a disaster, just as much as it is to come in and have the community seeing you drive around town in the pickup truck, being at the local restaurant, staying in the motel or wherever, and wondering what you're doing. Sustainability starts with the first person on the project. So that's what I mean by that.